It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The American economy has experienced gradual improvements in the 6 years since the 2008 market collapse. But for many investors, memories of those economic losses are still raw. Throughout the last month, the volatility of global politics and events have affected the stock market with disconcerting spikes and dips. Financial planners such as Paul Bram, chairman and CEO of BPU Investment Firm and a member of the board of directors of the Pittsburgh chapter of the Financial Planning Association, are faced with concerned investors who want to know what they're in for. Paul Bram joins us to talk about the causes of the latest market volatility and how best to react. Paul, good to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by talking about what's happening right now in the market. What have you been seeing?
Well, we've seen worry, 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 and then again, did I mention worry? It's driven by so many factors. If we think about just the past 9 months, polar vortex in January, what's the effect on retail sales?
Forgot about that one.
Yeah,
So much has happened since then, starting with the vortex.
Yeah, then we had this fella Putin, who did an unauthorized field trip into Crimea and the Ukraine. And that caused concerns about economic slowdown in Europe because of energy concerns and the effect of sanctions. Europeans can't sell to Russia. Throw in there a little skirmish between Israel and Palestine, not to mention Iraq and a little organization called ISIS in Syria, some protests around democracy in Hong Kong. And then there's the Fed tapering issue and the removal of asset purchases and its effect on this potential effect on the stock market. And we can't forget about our favorite, Ebola.
Well, that certainly seems to be the favorite of certain cable news networks. It's all that is being discussed of late. We were, in fact, talking about this yesterday in the context of panic. And oftentimes when you hear about a financial collapse of some time, it's referred to as a panic.
Of course.
And so how much does fear and panic play into the mindset of investors and potential investors in late 2014?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with it. I'm very fond of saying that people make really bad decisions with good information. There's an Ebola outbreak in West Africa, and there are two confirmed cases in the United States. I better get out of the market because our economy could collapse under the weight of Ebola. That's probably not true, but with a 24-hour news cycle that's focused on some of that hyperbole around that, it makes people worried. I had a physician call me at 9:45 on Tuesday evening this week, asking about what we would do in portfolios if the Ebola crisis worsened.
And A
physician asked me that. There's no sense that it's going to worsen. I think if we go back to 2003, you might remember SARS. And if you remember the images of people in airports wearing masks,
right,
because it was an airborne disease, right? We can go back as recently as 2009 and think about H1N1. But the truth of the matter is influenza in the United States every year takes more lives than any of these disorders, any of these diseases that could be considered pandemic or maybe even epidemic in certain areas has ever caused. And so there's a reaction because of images and the news cycle that makes people think that the worst has come upon us, and I don't know that it necessarily has.
Right, and that in fact that they say the chances of being struck by lightning are better than contracting the Ebola virus. Before the 24-hour news cycle, what was it that would panic investors? News traveled differently.
Of course.
The news has always, world events have always impacted the markets. So what is different about the way it happens today? It just happens faster?
It happens faster and it happens more frequently. If we look at an index called the VIX, the Volatility Index, we see that Over the years, volatility seems to have increased more than it was in the past. And the spikes in volatility are sharper and faster than they have in the past because information travels really very quickly and traders respond to it.
Is that why we're seeing the market fluctuate so in such a pronounced way and in ways that we may not have seen it have happen in years past?
I think that's a large part of it. A second part of that is hedge funds. If you take a look at the stocks that have been most affected by the recent decline, the stocks that are most owned by hedge funds are also those that have been most affected in the decline. And so many of these hedge fund managers own very large positions and they leverage those positions. So transactions that they engage in can create a pretty significant shift in the market. And so hedge fund managers will react quickly to headlines in an attempt to either capitalize on them and make money or avoid losing money for investors. And we didn't have that effect years ago. It simply didn't exist.
Is there something, you know, something like the Ebola outbreak, and we're talking about the outbreak in Africa, not here in the United States, but can something like that, while creating a panic in some people, perhaps create what might be perceived as an opportunity for others?
Well, I think this is a great question, and I do think it creates a substantive opportunity for individual investors. There's this notion of separating noise from knowledge. And the knowledge is that volatility exists and that there are asset classes that are weakly correlated to one another. So I'll give you an example. This year, while the major equity indexes in the United States have come under a lot of pressure and have declined off of their highs, the U.S. Treasury market and the U.S. municipal bond market are up double digits, If I own both of those kinds of assets, bonds and stocks in my portfolio, in some balance, 40% bonds, 60% stocks, 30, 70, when those declines come in those equity markets and they're offset by gains in the fixed income markets, that's a transaction that we call rebalancing, portfolio rebalancing. I can sell off some of that gain and I can use it to purchase something that has temporarily declined. And that process of measured and thoughtful rebalancing allows us to forget about predicting what might happen in the future. It allows us to not engage in knee-jerk reactions, but in a mathematical, unemotional, a disciplined fashion, take advantage of these shifts in the market to our benefit.
We're talking with Paul Bram. He is chairman and CEO of BPU Investment Firm and a member of the board of directors of the Pittsburgh chapter of the Financial Planning Association, about the volatility in the markets recently. Of course, there has been certainly a recovery that continues from the market collapse of 2008. Technically, we haven't been in a recession for a while, but have we recovered psychologically from the market collapse 6 years ago and the Great Recession?
I don't think we have. I think that memory is really very raw for people. I think that we have a whole generation of baby boomers that potentially delayed their retirement as a result of that recession in 2008. I think we have a group of people who considered becoming investors and have now shied away from it. And I think the evidence of that is that there is still $8 trillion in cash on the sidelines. If you think about a U.S. economy of $14 trillion in economic output annually, to have $8 trillion, more than half of it, in cash is extraordinary. And 67% of that money is sitting in passbook savings accounts. So it says to me that the consumer, the individual retail investor, is deeply concerned about the risk of recession and the recurrence of a 2008-like phenomenon.
What are the key mistakes that people might be making?
Well, I think there's a few. We have a tendency to concentrate our money in that which recently outperformed. So for example, in 2013, utilities were the best sector in the S&P 500. Today, they're the worst sector. If I had become a buyer of utilities late in 2013, I got crushed. I'm down 14%. So we have a tendency to look in the rearview mirror and engage in this behavior called recency, that which recently occurred is about. And so when we look at fund flows, and the Federal Reserve publishes fund flows, where's the money coming from? Where's it going to? We see that the majority of cash being invested in markets is generally invested in that asset category that has recently done the best, which means that people are typically buying high. The opposite of that, when we look at fund flows, says that the most money is coming out of that category which has recently done the worst. Mm-hmm. So people have a tendency to buy high and sell low based on the emotion that's driven often by headlines and unexplained phenomenon. Now, most people don't watch what hedge funds are buying and what they've leveraged, right? But they see a stock price fall like crazy for something that they thought was a good company. Oh my gosh, something must be happening. I better get out. And so we see evidence
rather
in this,
than riding it out and
rather than having a strategy that owns multiple asset classes globally and periodically rebalancing. And so we see something interesting. Over the last 20 years, the S&P 500 has averaged about 8%. So I'm talking Rip Van Winkle. Put the money in, walk away. Don't touch it. 8% compounded annually. Extraordinary return. But at the same time, the average equity investor in the United States has only experienced a return of about 2%. Now, that's not accounted for because of commissions or fees or taxes. It's because of timing, when they buy and when they sell. And
so what should we do?
So I think what we should do is really pretty simple. We need to focus on things that we can control. Investors need to carefully consider four fundamental questions. Do I have enough? How do I make it last? How do I protect it? And how do I pass it on? If they focus on these four fundamental questions and understand that all money has a purpose, we can do the arithmetic to establish an appropriate structure. How much in bonds? How much in stocks? Set that allocation strategy. Rebalance it periodically and not be terribly concerned by the events of the day, because we want to be long-term owners of companies, not short-term traders of stocks. So come up with an asset allocation. 40 bonds and 60 stocks really works for a lot of folks, and we can generally withdraw 4% a year out of that and adjust it for the prior year's inflation and probably not run out of money. There's a very high confidence level, and landmark research was done on that in the early 90s and continues to be confirmed today.
Paul Bram is chairman and CEO of BPU Investment Firm and a member of the board of directors of the Pittsburgh chapter of the Financial Planning Association. Paul Bram, as always, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Coming up, we will talk with the author of a book about 9/11 and Flight 93, Tom McMillan, author of Flight 93, The Story, The Aftermath, and The Legacy of American Courage on 9/11. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.